Copyright 1992 Acebo. All material on this tape is copyrighted. It is a violation of federal copyright law to copy all or any part of this tape without the express written permission of Acebo. P.O. Box 7485, Spreckels, California, 93962. Tape 7, Side A, Miscellaneous Court Proceedings.
Municipal Court Advisement of Rights. This is the time set for criminal and traffic arraignments and a few other matters. All cases called today are personally assigned to me for trial and for all other purposes. I will be the judge handling your case from now on. I will take attorney matters out of order with a waiver of advice of rights. As your name is called, you will be advised of the charge against you, and you will be asked if you wish to enter a plea of guilty, not guilty, no contest, also known as nolo contendere, former conviction or acquittal, once in jeopardy, or not guilty by reason of insanity. Or you may wish to ask for a continuance to see an attorney, or to think the matter over before you enter a plea. You have the right to be represented by an attorney, and the court will give you a continuance of up to 1 week to talk with an attorney if you wish. If you are now in custody, you have the right to be released by posting reasonable bail. If you are charged with a misdemeanor and you are financially unable to employ an attorney, the court will appoint an attorney for you at your request. And, upon the conclusion of the criminal proceedings, the court will hold a hearing to determine if you have the then present ability to repay the county for all or part of the cost of the services of the court-appointed attorney. Any order that the court makes will have the same force and effect as a judgment in a civil action and shall be subject to enforcement. You are entitled to a speedy and public jury or court trial. If you are in custody, you are entitled to be tried within 30 days from the date of your arraignment or entry of plea, whichever occurs later. If you are not in custody, you are entitled to be tried within 45 days from the date of your arraignment or entry of plea, whichever occurs later. If you are not brought to trial within those time periods, you are entitled to have a misdemeanor or infraction charge against you dismissed, unless you have waived your right to a speedy trial. You have the right to be confronted by the witnesses who accuse you and to cross-examine them under oath. You have the right to testify at your trial, and you have the right to refuse to testify. You have the right to appeal the judgment of this court to the Superior Court. You must file your notice of appeal within 30 days from the date you are sentenced. If you can't afford to hire an attorney for your appeal, the Superior Court will appoint one to assist you. You may ask for an indicated sentence before you enter a plea of guilty or no contest, if you wish, and find out exactly what your sentence will be. You may plead guilty and impose conditions that limit the amount of jail time that may be imposed. For instance, you may plead guilty on condition that I receive no jail time. If you plead guilty or no contest, you give up the following rights. 1. Your right to an attorney, even a court-appointed one. 2. Your right to a jury or court trial. 3. Your right to confront and cross-examine all witnesses against you. And 4. Your privilege against self-incrimination, and your right to remain silent. The maximum penalty for most misdemeanor offenses is 1 year in the county jail and a fine of up to $1,000 plus penalty assessments, which are now more than the fine itself, and which are required by statute to be imposed. You may be required to pay restitution to the victim or to the state restitution fund also. For some offenses, the court may also suspend your right to drive and impound your car at your expense. You may be required to attend and complete counseling sessions. If you are convicted of driving under the influence of alcohol and have a high blood alcohol level, 0.20 or more, or if you refuse to take a chemical test, your sentence may be enhanced or made greater pursuant to Section 23206.1 of the Vehicle Code. For some offenses, you may be required to register with the sheriff or the chief of police. If you are not a citizen of the United States of America, you are hereby advised that conviction of the offense for which you have been charged may have the consequence of deportation, exclusion from admission to the United States of America, or denial of naturalization pursuant to the laws of the United States. Upon satisfactory completion of probation, or 1 year after sentencing, if no probation is imposed, you may then be able to withdraw your plea or verdict, have a not guilty plea entered, and have your record cleared in some cases. If you are charged only with an infraction, your rights are a little different than if you are charged with a misdemeanor. If you are charged only with an infraction, you do not have the right to a court-appointed attorney, and you do not have the right to a jury trial. You do have the right to be represented by an attorney of your choice, and you have the right to a trial by judge. You cannot be sentenced to jail for an infraction. The maximum penalty is a fine of only $250 plus penalty assessments. Now I will proceed to call the cases on the docket. When I call your name, step forward to be informed of the charges. If you already know that you want to plead guilty, get a waiver form from the bailiff and have it already filled out to save time. OR motion. Your Honor, the defense wishes to be heard on a motion. Your Honor, it seems to me that to hold the defendant in custody for any protracted length of time serves no purpose other than to punish the wrong people. My client is a hard-working man who heads a large household. He is the sole support of his wife and 5 children, whose ages range from 3 months to 9 years. In addition, he has an invalid mother who lives with him, whom he also supports. As the court is aware, despite the fact that the defendant is employed and has been so for the last 6 years, his family responsibilities make it impossible for him to post the $10,000 bail set by the court. Your Honor, this is a one-time offense. The defendant has no priors, as a matter of fact, has never before had any contact with the justice system. He has not even received a minor traffic citation. His ties in this community are strong and have been so for many years. Mr. Suarez owns his home here, and, as previously stated, his mother is here. Furthermore, his extended family lives in this country. He is active in his church, and, save for this one unfortunate incident, he has been a model citizen. I feel that the court would not be taking a great risk in granting the defendant a release on his own recognizance. Therefore, the defense respectfully requests that the court release Mr. Suarez on his own recognizance. Thank you, Your Honor.
Do the people wish to address the court on this motion?
Your Honor, considering the nature of the offense, the people would oppose the OR motion. While it is true that Mr. Suarez has no criminal record, this is a sex offense, and the victim is his niece. We feel it would not be appropriate to release him into the community under these circumstances. Submitted, Your Honor.
Motion denied.
Jury selection and voir dire. The clerk will call the names of the prospective jurors. Please answer aloud so we may hear. When you reply, please give us the correct pronunciation of your name. The jury panel will please stand and be sworn for voir dire. You and each of you do solemnly swear that you will well and truly answer such questions as may be asked of you, touching upon your qualifications to serve as trial jurors in the cause now pending before this court, so help you God. The court will be asking questions to determine whether you can sit as a fair and impartial juror on this case. The questions are not intended to embarrass you or to unduly pry into your personal affairs. Their sole purpose is to determine if you can be fair and impartial as a juror in this case. Please raise your hand to indicate yes or no. Those whose names have not been called, please listen carefully and remember each question on which you would have raised your hand. The defendant in this case, Mr. Armando Alcala, is accused by the people of committing the crime of armed robbery and assault with a deadly weapon at the Fairway Liquor Store at 1729 Broadway on August 13th of this year. Have any of you seen or heard anything about this case in the news media? Or do you know or think you know anything about this case? The people are represented by Mr. Hampton. Do any of you know Mr. Hampton on either a professional or social basis, which does not include having sat on another jury where he was one of the attorneys? Do any of you know any member of the staff of the district attorney's office on either a professional or social basis? Mr. Hampton, will you please introduce the officer who will assist you? Do any of you know Officer Garcia, who has been designated the investigating officer in this matter? The defendant is represented by Mrs. Sampson. Do any of you know Mrs. Sampson on either a professional or a social basis? Do any of you know any member of the staff of the Public Defender's Office on either a professional or social basis? Do any of you know any member of the law firm of Williams and Rogers on either a professional or social basis? Mrs. Sampson, will you please introduce your client? Do any of you know Mr. Alcala? I am going to read a list of witnesses who may be called during this trial. Please raise your hand if you know or think you know any of these names. Officer Julio Garcia, Officer James Thompson, Agent Roger Freeman, Deputy Bill Manning, Julie Smith, Frederick Barlow, Preston Warwick, Private Investigator, and Dr. Jose Maria Blandon, forensic pathologist. Do any of you know the alleged victim, Abdul Mahmoud? Have any of you or any member of your family ever been convicted of a felony? Do any of you have any sympathy for or feeling against the defendant by reason of his race, nationality, sex, age, appearance, or because of the charge against him? Do any of you have any sympathy for or feeling against the alleged victim by reason of his race, nationality, sex, age, appearance, or because of the charges involved in this case? Do any of you have any sympathy for or feeling against the deputy district attorney who is trying this case representing the people because of his physical disability, which would affect your impartiality? Do each of you understand that just because a charge has been filed, it is no evidence of any kind against this defendant? Do each of you understand that just because a charge has been filed, it does not create any presumption at all, nor does it present any inference that this defendant may be guilty? Do each of you understand that any defendant in any criminal case is presumed by law to be innocent, and that he is not required to prove his innocence, and that he is not required to produce any evidence at all in his own behalf? Reasonable doubt means doubt based on reason, and it is not an imaginary or a possible doubt, but it is one which may arise in your mind after a careful and impartial consideration of all the evidence, or from the lack of evidence. Do each of you understand that you individually must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant is guilty before you can return a verdict of guilty? Do all of you agree with this? Do each of you understand that the burden, the requirement, of proving the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt is on the people, and that this burden and responsibility never shifts from the people to the defendant? Do any of you feel this is too heavy a burden or too great a responsibility for the people? Do any of you have any conscientious opinions or beliefs which would prevent you, in spite of the evidence, from finding the defendant not guilty? Do any of you have any conscientious opinions or beliefs which would prevent you from finding the defendant guilty in spite of the evidence? Since the matter of punishment, when there is a verdict of guilty, is solely the responsibility of the court, do each of you understand that in arriving at a verdict, you are not to discuss or even to consider the possible punishment for the crime that is alleged? Are each of you willing to wait until you have heard all the evidence, until you have heard the arguments of counsel, and until you have heard the instructions of law before you decide what your verdict will be in this case? If, during your deliberations, you as an individual juror did not believe the defendant was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, but all of the other jurors felt he was guilty, or if you felt he was guilty but all the other jurors felt he was not guilty, would you change your mind and your vote just because you were outnumbered, or because you wanted to go home, or some similar reason? Raise your hand if you would not. In the situation just described, would each of you be willing to freely, openly, fairly, and courteously discuss with the others the evidence and the deductions to be drawn from it? And if, after doing so, you were satisfied your first opinion was wrong, would you then be willing to abandon that first opinion and render your verdict according to your final decision? Raise your hand if you would not. Counsel, you may proceed to voir dire juror number one. Sample voir dire questions.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Mrs. Smith. As the court explained, my colleague and I are going to ask you all some questions this morning to see if you can sit as fair and impartial jurors on this case. We don't want to get too nosy or anything, but we need to know a little about you so that we can make sure both the people and the defendant get a fair trial here. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Are you married, Ms. Smith?
Yes, sir.
What does your husband do for a living?
He's a carpenter. He works for a contractor on local construction sites, mostly residential.
And do you work outside the home?
Right now, I'm a housewife, but in the past, I've worked as a secretary off and on.
And how many children do you have?
4, 2 boys and 2 girls.
What are their ages?
12, 14, 17, and 18.
Are they all in school, or do any of them work?
The 17-year-old works part-time as a gardener, handyman type. You know, he mows lawns, clears brush, that type of thing. And my 18-year-old daughter is a clerk at JCPenney.
Do you know any of the parties involved in this case? Anyone on the list the court read a few minutes ago?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know anyone involved in law enforcement?
Well, one of our neighbors is a sheriff, and my brother-in-law is a probation officer. Is that what you mean by law enforcement?
Yes. Anyone who works in the courts, a police department, a prison, anywhere in the justice system. Now, do you ever discuss your neighbor's work with him? Did you say he was a police officer or a sheriff?
Sheriff. No, we don't talk about his work much. We don't socialize much, you know. We just say hello to each other across the fence, that's all.
How about your brother-in-law? Do you ever discuss his caseload with him?
No, he lives in Fresno, so we don't see each other that often.
Now, have you or any of your friends or relatives ever been accused of a felony?
Not that I know of. Oh, wait, I think my brother got a drunk driving charge. Is that a felony?
No, that's a misdemeanor in most cases. Would the fact that your brother was arrested for driving under the influence prevent you from being fair and impartial in this case?
No, it was a long time ago. And anyway, he got what he deserved.
Have you or any of your friends or relatives ever been the victim of or been involved in any way in a felony?
No, not that I know of.
Now, there's going to be some evidence of drug use and alcohol consumption in this case, Mrs. Smith. Will you be able to sit on this case and hear evidence of that nature and remain fair and impartial, Mrs. Smith?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, do you have any bias or prejudice against people just because they consume alcohol or drugs? In other words, would you automatically assume a person was guilty just because they were under the influence of a drug or alcohol, regardless of the other evidence?
No, I understand that we have to consider all of the facts before making up our minds.
Very good. So, do you promise to give the defendant the benefit of the doubt, and if the people do not meet the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt in this case, you will find the defendant not guilty?
Yes.
Now, in this case, Mrs. Smith, the defendant and the alleged victim are both minorities, the defendant being from Panama and the victim being from Pakistan. Would that pose any problem for you in terms of your ability to judge the case fairly and impartially?
No, I don't care what color people's skin is or anything. That won't enter into it.
I understand you have served on prior juries before. Is that correct, Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
What kind of cases were they, and how long ago was it?
Oh, it was 3 or 4 years ago. I remember there was a shoplifting case and an assault and battery. I don't remember what else. I got kicked off several juries before I finally got to sit in on a trial.
Do you think you will be able to set aside that prior jury experience and consider this case solely on the merits, regardless of any other considerations?
Oh, yes. I hardly remember anything about those cases. It's been so long now. They won't influence me.
Was there anything at all about your prior jury service that would affect your ability to be fair and impartial in this case, to give the defendant and the people a fair trial?
No, no problem. Like I say, I barely remember them.
Without telling me what the verdict was, Mrs. Smith, can you tell me whether the jury reached a verdict in those other cases you served on in the past?
Well, it seems to me we had a hung jury on one of them, the assault case, But we reached a verdict on the other ones.
Can you think of any reason why you couldn't be a fair and impartial juror in this case, Mrs. Smith?
No, nothing.
Thank you. Pass for cause, Your Honor. The peremptory is with the people.
Your Honor, the people would like to thank and excuse Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith, please return to the jury commissioner's office. The clerk will call the next name on the roster, and then we will break for our lunch recess. Prospective jurors and all members of the panel are admonished by the court that they are not to discuss any details of this case with anyone or to form or express any opinion thereon. The court stands adjourned until 1:30 this afternoon.
Reading of the complaint. The clerk will now read the complaint. The Municipal Court of Hayward, County of Alameda, State of California. Felony complaint. The people of the State of California, plaintiff, versus Mario Fernandez Fernandez, defendant. Superior Court number CR98823. Personally appeared before me this 10th day of September, 1991, Detective Richard Wilson of the County of Alameda, who, being first duly sworn on oath, upon information and belief, complains and says, Count 1, that on or about the first day of June, 1991, at and in the County of Alameda, State of California, the crime of assault with a deadly weapon, in violation of Section 245B, Penal Code of California, a felony, was committed by Mario Fernandez Fernandez, who, at the time and place last aforesaid, did willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously commit an assault with a deadly weapon upon the person of Julio Ibarra. Count 2. For a further and separate cause of action, being a different offense of the same class of crimes and offenses as the charge set forth in Count 1 hereof, the said Mario Fernandez Fernandez is accused of the crime of armed robbery in violation of Section 211, Penal Code of California, a felony, committed as follows. That the said Mario Fernandez Fernandez, on or about the first day of June, 1991, did willfully, unlawfully, feloniously, and by means of force and fear, take personal property from the person, possession, and immediate presence of Julio Ibarra, to wit, $53, lawful money of the United States.